song of encouragement. It's a good thing we can all work together. I don't think I put any too hard songs out there for you at all. It's good to see everybody that is here to gather together to worship, and it's good to be able to come and to sing praises to God. It's once again good that we're able to be able to help those who are unable to be here this morning due to the weather and, of course, to the virus that is out there. So we're thankful for this opportunity to remember the sacrifice that Christ has given for us, that God has made for us, and to edify and uplift one another as we live our lives upon this earth and as we continue to strive to live that faithful life so that we can have a home in heaven. What I want to talk about this morning, if you'll open your Bibles, we'll be talking about remembering. There's a lot of things that as Christians we should keep in our minds. I would say if we had a song that was this congregation song, at least for Ron, he often leads it as I went ahead and put it for the closing song tonight. Remember who you are. It's the B, letter B in our front of our song books. And there's a lot to that, especially as we live day to day on our own, as we live our lives upon this earth, as we face the virus, as we face the other temptations upon this earth, that we have to remember who we are. We have to remember what the Word of God has to say. We have to remember who our God is, and we have to remember that there is a judgment in the end. So I'd like to open up our Bible and look through it and see what it has to say and things that we should be keeping in our minds and the reason why we should be praying without ceasing, reasons why we should continue to study and open up our Bibles and read it each and every day. So again, I encourage that you open up your Bibles as we go through the lesson. So the first point I want to bring out is that to remember our Creator, to remember that we were created by God, and remembering His power, remembering who He is, and that we do have a Creator. We have a God to look to. So if you open up your Bibles to Genesis in chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, and of course we could read through the whole chapter and read about creation all together. The fact that He's created this world, the fact that He created the water and the trees, and He created all the animals, the living creatures, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. He created all those things. And then you get to verse 26. And in verse 26 it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. So God, after creating everything else, looks down at the world and says, "Let us make man in our image. Let them have dominion over everything, over all the other beasts of the world, over all the fish of the sea. Let man have dominion over them." So you get into chapter 2, and it gives us a little more detail. Verse 7, as it brings out that He created man out of the dust of the ground. And then you get down to verse 21, after God looked upon man, and said that there's not a helpmate compatible to him. And so He caused a deep sleep to come over Adam, and of course He took one of his ribs and created Eve. And God created man and woman. We were created in His image. And that's something we need to remember, is that God is our Creator, and that He created us in His image. In John chapter 1 and verse 3, John chapter 1 and in verse 3, John 1 and verse 3 says here, "All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Nothing. So when we talk about our creation and we talk about the beginning of time, we need to remember that Jesus was there in the beginning also. Not just the Father, but our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit. As we read there in Genesis 1, it says, "Let us." Doesn't "I'm going to." Wasn't one person speaking there. But as the three said, "Let us make man in our own image. We have to remember that. I didn't put the verse up here on the PowerPoint. I failed to do that. I meant to come back and do that. But when Jesus was questioned about taxes, when he was questioned on whether or not we should pay taxes, and he decided to answer that question by saying, well, whose image is on your money? Whose image is on the denarii? And they said, well, Caesar's. And he says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Render unto God what is God's. So often we use that verse and we point out, see there, we have to pay our taxes. And we look at our money and see that it has the pictures of our presidents and the government there. And so therefore it's their money. We have to pay our tax. But also listen to the next part that Jesus said. He said, render unto God what is God's. And what has God's image on it? You. I. Therefore, we are to give ourselves up to God. Sacrifice. Be a living sacrifice unto God. And so we need to remember who our Creator is. Another point to bring out is we need to remember who our Savior is. We need to remember the sacrifice that He has given us. And of course, we just took the Lord's Supper in that memorial, in that remembrance of what He has done. Turn along with me to Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, and you read here with me. Matthew 26. And reading. And in verse 26. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the mount. So here Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him. Of remembrance of the body that He lived in, that walked upon this earth, that was beat, that was scourged, that had bled. The fruit of the vine, remembering that blood that was shed as He was scourged, as He was pierced, as He was nailed to the cross, as the crown of thorns was beat upon His head. And we read about that here in Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, and you read here in verse 26, it says, then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, gathered the whole garrison around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed on his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, mocked him, saying, hail, King of Jews. Then they spat on him. And they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his clothes on him. And they led him away to be crucified. The sacrifice that Christ had made. And to remember that there is no other name in which you can be saved. That there is no other person that could have made this sacrifice, that can make this sacrifice for you. There's no amount of money that you can make and pay and put into the contribution that will get you into heaven. No animal's blood can wash your sins away. Only this sacrifice can you be forgiven and have a home in heaven. We need to remember that. We need to keep that in mind as we live from day to day, not just every Sunday, not just during those few minutes of the Lord's Supper, but remembering this at all times, the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. We need to remember where our strength and hope come from. That as we go into the world and we face temptations and we have trials, because we're told in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10 that says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried and have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. Here it tells us Satan is out there. He is going to try to ensnare you. He's going to try to trick you. And there'll be the trickery of words. He'll shine out as the angel of light. And he will do everything possible to cause you to fall away. That's why we have verses that tell us he who does not hate his mother and father, brother and sister, even his own life, is not worthy of my kingdom. It's because we have to be willing to put these things aside when it comes to putting God first. We have to understand Satan will use your family, your friends, your work, money, spouse, anything he can to get you to fall into temptation. So we have to remember how we can overcome these temptations. It's by going to our Lord and Savior. It's by going to our God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 3, go to verse 2 with me. Start in verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. It says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Here it goes. He goes, I've heard of your works. I know what you've done, and I continue to pray for you, knowing of your hope that is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where does our hope lie? Where does the hope of no more pain? Where is the hope of no more death? Where is the hope of eternal joy? It is in Jesus Christ. It is in our Savior. We have to remember that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 2, starting in verse 16, it says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Who has loved us in everlasting and good hope by grace. That hope that is in the living, that hope that is, once again, a gift. This is a gift of God. Something that we don't deserve. Something that he didn't have to give us. Knowing that sin leads to death, leads to the second death. But through Christ, we have hope. We have hope of getting to heaven because he died for us, because his blood can wash away our sins, because when we fall short, we know that we can go to him and ask for strength to overcome the temptation next go around and ask for forgiveness, and he will grant it. He loves us. Because he cares for us. And we have to remember these things. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3. 1 Peter 1 and in verse 3. As it reads here, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has granted us living hope. It's not dead hope. It wasn't hope just for those who saw the miracles being performed. It is living hope. Hope that should continue with us today and tomorrow and continue until that day in which God has set aside to judge us. That hope that we should have. But it comes by remembering our Lord and Savior. Remembering the life he lived. Remembering why he did these things. Remembering what he has instructed us to do. Remember. And the best way to do that is to open up our Bibles and continuously study. Continuously study to confirm, to add to our faith. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. as Paul makes mention, and he goes forth and talks about how he is able to live his life, and whether he is hungry or whether he is full, whether he is on a nice ship that is going fine, or whether he is shipwrecked, whether he has clothes on his back or not. He finds strength through Christ. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens. And you do all that. Do we have that faith? Do we have that kind of hope? Knowing that we can overcome if we keep our faith in Christ. We have to remember this. We need to keep this in our minds as we live and we go out into the world and we face these temptations and trials. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 through 20, there it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Once again, you read through there. You see what the armor of God is. And it comes back to Christ. It comes back to our Lord and Savior. It comes back to our God. It comes back to you opening up your Bible and studying it to be able to add these things to your life. Add them to your spirit, into your faith, into your hope. Helping us be prepared each and every day. We need to remember the influence that we set for one another. The influence that we set for our family. The influence we set for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The influence we set to the world. We make an influence. Doesn't matter how outgoing you are. Doesn't matter if you're someone who stays at home most of the time. Doesn't matter if you feel like you're a leader or not. There are people who are always watching. So therefore, we have to make sure that we are following correctly. In Matthew chapter 6, and you read along with me, starting there in verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing?" I'm in Matthew 5 and verse 13. I'm going to a different spot. Matthew 5 and verse 13 is where I wanted to go. That's another good verse telling us not to be worried about these things. But Matthew 5 and verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light their lamp and put it under the basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We set an example. And since I already used Matthew 6, we'll talk about that. We'll go ahead and bring that into the point. That do we get caught up in worrying about the things of this world, worrying about food and clothing? Do we get caught up in panicking about these things when it says God will provide you? What kind of example do we set to one another? What kind of example do we show everyone else? Do we show that we have put our trust and our faith and our strength in Christ? Or do we show that our fear of the world or our faith in mankind goes above God's? We are to set an example, to shine a light in this world. In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." It's not that we get to give salvation to somebody, but when we speak the truth reaches their heart. Someone else can come along and speak the truth to them again, watering upon the seed that you have planted, and God's word will grow, and then they choose to obey, and God can forgive them. God is ready. Therefore, we have to watch what we say. We have to watch what we do in Colossians 3, and verse 17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through us." Setting an example by the things we say, by our actions, doing our best to make sure we're not causing anybody to stumble. In Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and you read there in verse 13. Romans 14 and verse 13. It says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. We want to make sure we do not cause one another to stumble. Recently in our Bible study, we talked about what happens, how bad off it is if we cause a little one, a child, to stumble away. And it is better to have your necktie to a rope that is connected to a very, very heavy, and I know people throughout, I think someone said 3,000 pounds, and stuff, you know, thrown into the water, drowned, sunk all the way to the bottom, then cause a little one to stumble and face the wrath of God. We have to make sure we're setting a good example for the young ones, for our brethren, for our family, for the world, because people are watching. Especially if you're connected to social media, if you have Facebook, if you have YouTube, if you tweet, all these different things that you have out there, the example that you set, somebody is watching. You don't want to be the reason that they stumble away. They stumble down the wrong path. We need to remember that there is a judgment in the end. We have to keep that in our minds as we live from day to day. Asking ourselves if this is where I want to be, if today is my last day on earth. That if I were to face God today and He were to ask you why, were you there? Why were you doing this? Why wasn't you at church? Why haven't you been reading your Bible? Why haven't you been praying? And once again, I don't know how judgment necessarily goes. We're getting some things throughout the Word of God and trying to figure out what's literal and what's not. I know we'll face judgment, though. That is going to happen. We need to know that. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, and in verse 27. As it reads here, it says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We will face judgment. Just as everyone will have to face death, we will face judgment. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Acts chapter 17, if you turn along with me there. And reading in verse 30. Acts 17 and verse 30 here reads, it says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Therefore, it's saying there is a day which God has chosen in which we will be judged. And we will be judged by the one that God raised from the dead, by our Lord and Savior Jesus. We need to remember that. And it will be a righteous judgment. As He will not judge according to His will, to our will, but according to the will of the Father. He will judge us according to the words in which He has already blessed us with to give us the opportunity to find the truth and to turn from our sins. In John chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48 says, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We need to remember these things. All in all, the lesson is remember who you are. Remember the decision that you have made. Remember that you have been called out to be separate from the world. Not that we're out of the world. We still live our lives in this world, and we are to set an example. We are to go out and to teach the world. But you have to remember that you have chosen to become a Christian. And if you have not chosen to do that yet, you have not chosen to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, then you have to remember that there's a consequence if you do not obey before that day of judgment. That if you know right from wrong and you understand what you need to do, that you will be accountable for your choice. So I encourage you, we all encourage you, to make that choice today. To remember what God has promised to you. If you'd only come forward and confess your faith, and be baptized and wash away your sins. If there's anything else we can do for you, help you, let us know as we stand and sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as
but the blood.